Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. I have the voice crack of a prepubescent, well, not prepubescent, but, you know, going through puberty, teenage boy vocal crack. Not sure if this will ever make it to air, but I thought, you know, what better time to come back to this after 9 months for the 9th episode than right now, you know? Like, 9 months, a lot has happened, but also a lot has stayed the same, you know? And I feel like doing this was a good outlet, and I feel like, you know, even recently going back and listening to some of my older episodes helped me heal from things I was dealing with right now. Like, it just helped to be able to listen to my own perspective. It's almost like in the show Good Luck Charlie, how she has like the video vlogs and she's like, oh, you know, if you're ever in this situation and this happens, good luck Charlie. I feel like I'm like good luck Charlie-ing myself. So whether or not what I'm doing is, you know, helping others or matters to other people is beside the point, because it matters to me. And I feel like so many of us, and this is speaking from my own experience, I do things for other people, and I feel like I forget to live for myself, because when you think about it, you are literally the only person you will spend the entirety of your life with is you. Like, you know, you could have people that are there for a majority of the time, but say in an 80-year lifespan, the only person that's going to be with you those whole 80 years is you. So you might as well get used to yourself, right? You might as well like yourself and, you know, be able to cope with who you are as a person. And I think, though you only spend your life with yourself, it's also important for me to think about how, in a lot of senses, I feel like I am a collection and pieces of parts of every single person who has ever loved me, or maybe not even loved me, but impacted my life in a significant way. I mean, I think there's things that you do, you know, pieces of your personality that became parts of you because of other people. And I think that's beautiful. And I know that the feeling of hyper-independence to an extent is like almost like a trauma response. Like, it's a way for me to keep myself safe from others, to avoid being vulnerable. But I really do think there's something so beautiful to be said about human connection and opening yourself up to other people, no matter the cost of what could happen. I feel that I would rather love than to have never loved at all. Like, I would rather do something and really regret it than wake up one day and wish I had done something differently. Not that doing anything differently would change an outcome, but also the fact that not the outcome not being changed, like, but I could still, if I just do the things I want to do, you know, without worrying about how I'm perceived and what people think and how that negatively impacts their view of me and how I have a perfect, you know, curated obsession of how I want to be perceived by others, I think it's better to just say, you know what? Who cares what they think? I'm gonna do what I want, you know? As long as it's not, like, directly hurting other people, I feel like I've always been someone who was so scared to mess up even once or make a single slight mistake, to the point where it stopped me from really, you know, putting myself out there and risking it. I feel like my whole life, in some way or whatever, I've, like, lived, like, wrapped in bubble wrap, you know? Like, so worried about misstepping or making a mistake or not being perfect, when in reality, literally no one is perfect. I mean, I think that's one of the hard things about, like, social media, is you just see, like, a curated feed of how people are asking you to perceive them, when in reality, that's not the whole picture. You know, people, for the most part, aren't going to post their really, really weak moments and their, you know, upset feelings. They're going to post their happy stuff. They're going to post their projects that look lovely and make them look good and make them look nice and perfect. They're not going to post their failures and their struggles and their hardships. I mean, and I feel like when people do post, sometimes post their problems and their stuff, it's almost because they need that validation. And I'm not saying it's wrong to need validation. I just think it's important to protect your energy and to make sure that you're not seeking validation from people who may not actually care about your feelings, but rather be interested in your drama. You know, it makes me think of those situations with friends where, you know, the person seems like they're always interested in all of your drama and that kind of stuff, but, or telling you their drama and that kind of stuff, and not really interested in you and what you have to say and your feelings. And I feel like I always worry, you know, I like to seek support from my friends and family members, but I always worry that I'm crossing those lines or boundaries, and I never want to be perceived as someone who is self-centered or selfish or self-involved or doesn't care about other people's life and only talks about themselves. And I think being hyper aware about that kind of thing can make it really hard to be vulnerable and to show people who you are, because especially for me, I feel like I struggle so much with wanting to be in control of literally everything in my life to an unhealthy amount, to the point where something doesn't go the exact way I planned for it to go and I just freaking melt, I break, I crumble. And then I find myself gluing myself back together. But I think, though it sucks to be completely crumbled and feel like you're at a breaking point and that you can't do it and that you can't keep going and that everything is too hard and you just want to take a break, but I think there's something to be said about that moment of when you realize that you can do it and you rise from the ashes and you push forward. And I'm not saying that it isn't okay to be vulnerable and, you know, just push through it, just push through it. I think it is such a more difficult thing than just pushing through it, because, yeah, to an extent, perseverance will get you through most things. But sometimes that mental stuff, you just have to process the emotion, feel the lived experience, and, you know, live in that moment, live in that uncomfortable feeling. Because if you don't feel the uncomfortableness of life, then you don't enjoy the highs as much. And I always think about that in the sense of I'm someone who gets so worked up about small, tiny things. And it makes me think of how when you're a child and you know, you're still figuring out the world and something happens to you and it's a big deal to you because it's the hardest thing you've ever experienced. But to an adult, it's like no big deal. And you're almost like, why are you upset? Why are you crying? You know? But I think in those moments when you freak out about something small, it's important to kind of, you know, talk to that inner child in a sense and be like, you know what? That does suck. That is traumatizing. Like, just because worse things happen to other people doesn't mean that the things that happen to you don't matter. I feel like that's kind of why I hate when people say it could be worse, because yeah, that's true. It could be worse. That's like saying the sky is blue. Like, obviously, objectively, the sky is blue. And objectively, things could be worse. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't suck when things are rough, when things are hard. It's just tricky to think of because, you know, sure, in the big picture, the things that are small and happening right now to you every day will not matter. Like, you know, you could fail a test and it might be the end of the world in that moment, but later it won't matter at all. So I think it's important to validate your feelings and to deal with what happens to you, but also to know in the back of your mind that it's not gonna matter later. Like, it makes me going back to the whole, like, things that happen to kids that are much bigger deals to them than they would be to an adult. An example I often think of, because I still think of this happening to me as a child, as an adult, I still think about it and how I was upset by it. Like, I was probably 5 or 6. I had my birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese, you know, very classic, very typical. I had a purple, like, balloon. It was literally just like a rubber, like, Chuck E. Cheese, like, balloon that was purple. Like, it was not a special or fancy balloon. It was just purple and for my birthday. And I remember going outside with the balloon and letting go of it and, like, watching it soar up into the sky out of reach, knowing, like, what was happening was completely out of my control and that there was nothing I could do about it, and just crying, you know, because in that moment, that was, like, a big deal to me. And I think it's important to think about now because, like, yeah, obviously now I know, like, balloons come and go, whatever, it's fine, but I feel like that feeling of being completely out of control and unable to fix something is just traumatizing, especially if you're a child and it's something like a balloon or whatever. Because yeah, I could get another balloon, but it would never be that one. Like, and I think that's what makes stuff like that kind of hard, is, you know, a lot of times things and sentiments are connected to memories and people and all those kind of things. It's like if you were in a fire and you lost all of your stuff, like, yeah, you could get a new clothes, you could get a new bed, but you couldn't get back some, like, irreplaceable thing, like maybe, like, your baby photos or, you know, your security blanket or something sentimental, or obviously, like, a person or a pet or things like that. Like, material things can be replaced, but the relationships and memories surrounding things cannot. And I think that's difficult to cope with. I really do. And I feel like maybe this whole conversation of thought is coming from a very privileged perspective, that these are my worst and biggest problems, but they're problems to me, and it's my life. And though it doesn't seem like a big deal in the grand scheme, it mattered to me at the time. You know, the purple balloon leaving me was the worst thing that ever happened to me at 5 or 6, or, you know, and I think about that a lot, and how childhood memories work, and kind of that inner working of the mind. And, you know, you try to think back to your earliest memory, and it's hard because you think, oh, am I remembering the last time I remembered that? Am I remembering a story that I had been told time and time again but don't remember? Or am I remembering seeing a picture of said event? Like, it's hard to know if you're actually remembering the memory. And then it makes me think of that whole, like, false memory thing. And, like, maybe something that somebody said to you and the way you interpret it. Like, you know, if you remember something that someone said to you, you're almost only remembering, like, the paraphrased version of what they said. And maybe that wasn't exactly how they said it. But I feel like sometimes the intent behind why people act the way they do doesn't matter. What matters is the outcome of how what they said or did impacted the people around them. It gets hard to understand as a whole how our everyday interactions impact other people. Like, it's tricky when you really think about it, because on one hand, you can't really control how other people feel and how they perceive things. But on the other hand, when you come from a place of love and light, it's hard to understand that even if you had the best intentions, that your actions may have left someone feeling upset. And I think for me, the hardest thing to deal with is when someone says one thing and their actions show another. And I feel like I find myself microanalyzing every single small, minuscule detail of people. And I remember it. And it gets stuck in my mind and in my head. Like, if I go to a restaurant and I think of the time that someone told me they liked that restaurant, and every time I go to that restaurant, I think of that person. And it brings it back to that whole, like, I feel like I'm a collection of people who I've loved or admired or have loved me. Like, even if it's not even in, like, a romantic sense, like, in, like, a friendship sense. Like, you know, the things, the hobbies, you know. Even it comes down to, like, the sayings or the way you phrase things. Like, I've noticed that before in the past. Like, the more you spend time with a certain person, the more you start using their little phrases and the way that they talk to you. And I think one that I definitely have said before, but I feel like I find myself saying it all the time when I'm, like, trying to relate to something, I'm like, you know. And I can think of exactly who says that and why I'm probably picking up on that. And it's frustrating because it's like, you become bits and pieces of other people, whether you do it intentionally or not. Like, it makes me think about how my nephew, who's, like, a year and a half and, like, starting to say, like, words, like, maybe two-word sentences, and he all of a sudden just would say, oh, geez, like, just, oh, geez. And we didn't really know where he was getting that from until my mom realized that she literally says, oh, geez, all the time. So that's where he's getting it from. It's just interesting to think that even, like, when someone is really small and still developing and still growing, and they just pick up on the people that are around them and how that doesn't really go away. Like, for me, at least, I hate that feeling of, you know, connecting every little event and stuff. Like, I feel so sentimental even about, like, dumb stuff. And I feel like something I do too is I remember when I wore an outfit and what I did in that outfit. Like, I wore a sweater today and I was like, oh, I remember the last time I wore this sweater, you know, and that feeling and that sentiment of knowing the last time you wore something. I don't think that's something that every single person experiences. Like, I don't think most people go around remembering the outfit that they wore when something happened to them. But I do feel like in the same sentiment of me going around and remembering outfits that I wore and how they connect to different events, emotions, and people. Maybe people don't do it with outfits, but they definitely do it in other ways. And I think we all handle and deal with things and cope differently. But I definitely feel like that's something I do. Like, I always, if something will be significant to me, I try to, like, plan my outfit in a way that, like, I don't want to wear a sweater and then something that, like, makes me upset happen and then be like, man, I can't even look at this sweater because when I was wearing this sweater, this happened to me. And I know that sounds silly and it sounds insane, but it's the way my brain processes things. So what are you gonna do? You know, for the rest of my life, I could, or the rest of the time that I even own a certain piece of clothing, I could put it on and think of the time when I wore it, you know? Or I might even think of clothes that I no longer have, maybe because they don't fit, or, you know, I on a whim decided to get rid of them because I didn't think I needed them anymore. And that feeling of remembering something that you don't have and you can't keep. And I mean, I feel like you have to come to peace with letting go of things that don't belong to you anymore. Like, yeah, would I totally love to get this sweater back that I wore in the seventh grade one time that I decided to get rid of? Yeah, I might want it back. Would I wear it very often? Probably not. Do I want it back? Yeah, very much so. Can I have it back? No. Do I have to cope with the fact that I can never have that thing back? Yes. And that's why I think when I get rid of clothes, I like to give them to people that I will see them wearing that clothes and know that a piece of me is now living with them. I know that probably sounds crazy, but like a piece of me is now a part of them and that I can look at them wearing that item of clothing and think of the times and the good vibes and the things that happened when I was wearing that clothing. If that makes any sense to anyone at all, I probably just sound like a crazy person, but you know, that's part of it, you know, is understanding that things are meant to change. Nothing ever is meant to stay exactly the same. Like, in many ways and aspects, your life could stay the same for long periods of time, but the beauty of change is growth. You know, it makes me think of that Ben Platt song, The Grow As We Go. Like, the idea of building a life with someone and building, growing up together is something that I think is really beautiful. And though I feel like I'm in a place where I don't outwardly seek out relationships, I can see the understand the beauty of, you know, growing up with someone and growing up together. And it makes me think of my parents and how they just recently had like a 34th wedding anniversary, and thinking about how they've spent the majority of their lives together and how I can almost not fathom spending my life with someone like that. Like, you know, growing up from a young age and then, you know, changing as people and still choosing every day to be with each other, to choose each other. Even though, like, obviously the person that you are with later, for better or worse, you know, you might like them more, you might like them less, and I think it depends on the day, and I think that's the beauty of it is, you know, having that human connection and being able to connect to someone in that way is something that I long for and crave. And I think I get myself into situations where I probably stay entrapped in and fixated in them longer than I should, because it's almost like I know the stove is hot and I touch it anyway. Like, I play with fire, like, almost hoping to get burnt. Like, when you touch a hot stove and your reaction should be to pull back. But it's almost like I like the feeling of chaos and of feeling so close to being able to have something, but yet it's still just being slightly out of reach. Like, I think that's crazy when you think about it, is how so many things that I thought I wanted so desperately are things now that if I could have them, I wouldn't even want them in the first place. It's just crazy when you think about how much, when you grow as a person and when you change, how the things that you want and what is important to you and your values and your core belief, how they change, and how something that might have really aligned with all of your checklists and boxes and what you thought you wanted becomes something that, even though you can have it, it's something you would never want at this point. You know, it's crazy. And I think that's something, though, I find long-term relationships beautiful. I often think of how they say that, like, a lot of times people fall out of love for the same reasons that they fell in love. Like, in the beginning, you know, if someone acted a certain way, and you would find it endearing, but at some point you might switch to finding, like, if someone is, like, sassy and sarcastic, you might in the beginning find that as, like, fun and cute and quirky, but at some point you might wake up and think, it feels like they'd never believe in me, or they don't understand me and who I am. And I think that's tricky to deal with. Like, the thought that the very reason why someone could choose you and love you is the same reason they could end up leaving you. Like, it's a lot for me to deal with and to cope with. Even having positive relationships, like, that I could view up close and personal, it's hard for me to picture myself in a functioning relationship. And I think that's part of, like, some sort of deep-rooted issue that I feel like a lot of people who lacked the typical experience with romance in their youth, is that there's almost this hidden core view that, like, they will never be worthy of loving. Like, I saw this TikTok and this guy was like, am I emotionally unavailable or and afraid of commitment, or am I afraid that I am not worth being committed to? That there is something about me that is fundamentally unlovable. And I'm like, I felt that. I felt that so deep inside of my core. And I just think knowing that the voices inside of your head sometimes aren't even your own voice, but things you heard so many times that they etched their way into your walls, and that, like, at some point you heard them so many times that they became fact, when in reality they're not fact. They're not the truth. And I just want to say thanks to anyone who listened to this, because there must be a part of you that still believes in me. And even if I'm the only one to ever listen to this, even if this doesn't see the light of day, I hope I find it helpful. I hope that in a few months I could come back and listen to this and think, wow, that was crazy. I know exactly what I was referring to and what I was going through at the time. And man, my life is different. Man, things are better. Or maybe, man, things are worse. And I think maybe, you know, I should have appreciated when things were better. But I really do hope that I look back on this fondly, and look back on my life fondly, and that I'm happy with the choices and decisions I made and that I don't have regrets, because the last thing in life I want are regrets. Well, thanks for hanging with Lane. I appreciate it. Bye.